Welcome to Podtendo, a Nintendo podcast, where they analyze, reminisce, and replay the glory of old Nintendo games.
It's all in the head. The head moves. In the body. The body. We did it. It's a process. Guide with your arm.
Not bad. But you gotta work on your follow through.
Ready for a tongue lashing? Yoshi's loose with juicier levels, tastier moves, and dripping with attitude. Yoshi's Story, for the first time on N64.
I think you got in the hang of.
Hey guys, welcome to the Podtendo podcast, where we analyze, reminisce, and replay the glory of old Nintendo games. We can contact you on Twitter, Podtendo Podcast, email us, podtendo@gmail.com, and we're available on other socials. If you look us up, Twitter, email, probably the ones that are going to get a hold of us. We are a review, let's play, pop culture, retrospective type show. So you're going to get all those fun things, maybe more. Who knows? We're not entirely sure here today. I am your co-host, Mick, and I'm joined every episode by my lovely and talented co-host,
Tyson.
Cool. Nice. Awesome. We were just talking about this. I was just telling Tyson, I have a new computer monitor. So Audacity's like color scheme is coming off weird. I'm definitely going to have to play around with the settings a little bit on this guy. But we're rocking, rolling. Look at that. Guys, new technology all the time. Took me like 4 years of this podcast by a second phone. And now I've got a new screen. I don't know what that's going to get us. But boom, we're here, baby.
Yep. Soundboard's next.
Oh, can you imagine? No, we're not that fancy. We're not that fancy at all. Although, we're in our seventh season. Welcome. Thank you for joining us if you've been here this time. We're in the month of Mario. We're playing kind of a pseudo Mario game. Technically, Mario's not in this game at all. It's just his green dinosaur friend, so it's kind of misleading. But I think it like fits in the Mario universe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't think of Mario without Yoshi, and you don't think of Yoshi without Mario. So this is just one of those weird games where Mario's not in it, and it's just strictly Yoshi, which is kind of cool. So
it's kind of neat. It's a little bit different, right? A little bit different. So we're not going to complain. Anything else to go over there? No. So we're playing Yoshi's Story today. We're going to look at this little experience. I'm not going to put a qualifier on that statement. Just it's an experience. It was developed by Nintendo END. It sold 2.85 million copies. It was released March 10th, 1998. How long to beat has this game at? 2 hours. Great. Price at release was $60. If you factor in inflation, I never write that down. Come on, I can just make up anything. It'd be $76.75. Those seem like interesting things. eBay, you can get this game for about $50 for a loose cartridge, upwards of $500 for an inboxed copy. Seems like a lot. On eShop, it's $15 if you buy it on like the Wii U or potentially Wii. I don't know if those servers are still around. Or $60 if you sign up for the N64 online. Again, something happened. I got overcharged. Not happy about it, Nintendo. Now, where to play this game? N64, Wii U, Switch, and an emulator. Cool.
Oh, brutal. I didn't know you got overcharged for it. But, well, yeah, so no, like, I just...
Well, I had a couple months left of my... Because I think every December it renews for my $25 for, like, my...
Oh, right. Because you probably got it on, like, a Boxing Day sale.
Something like that. So when I went to sign up for the N64 online, it charged me $60.
Oh. So it just... And then it did just renew for, like, the November. So you just lost those 3 months.
I don't know. I don't know what is happening. I don't know if I'm going to have to like re-sign up for my subscription or if they were like, you know what? Technically, it's $4 for the next 2 months before your subscription renews. So we'll cut you out that. And that's probably what happened, right? Because it's $24 regularly. So two a month. If I got it in for the last 2 months, it would have been $4 less. So maybe I didn't get overcharged.
Yeah. I don't know. You'll have to dig into it. But
I don't really. I'm fortunate enough, I don't even care about $60. That's right. I don't want to brag, but if I lost $60, it wouldn't affect me at all.
Yeah, just kind of lost to the wind at this point.
That's it. So cool. So with that, we're just going to dive into it. So before we talk more about this game, more about the specifics of this game, we're going to jump into our patented Wayback Machine. A real one, not an abridged one like you got the last couple weeks. We're going to travel back to March 10th, 1998. We're going to ask simple questions like, Tyson, what's your favorite show? Could it be between these two, The Simpsons, Season 9, Episode 17, Lisa the Simpson? So Lisa, unable to solve a brain teaser, goes on an existential crisis to discover if she's going to become stupid like Homer. Or Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain, Season 1, Episode 1, Patty Ann, and G, Your Hair Spells Terrific, using his mechanical human suit. Now with girls' clothing on, Brain poses as Patty Ann, Elmira's cousin. Despite his unconvincing appearance, Elmira's crush, Rudy Mukovich, falls head over heels for him. And hilarity ensues. So of those two shows, Tyson, what would you rather watch?
Yes. I remember the Elmira insertion to Pinky and the Brain, because apparently they just ran out of ideas or whatever, or the studio pushed for Elmira to be in it somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the jump on the shark moment in that show, but... and I'm not usually a big Lisa Simpson fan, but gosh darn, this is a great episode. And I love kind of like learning all about the history of the Simpsons and all the different aunts and uncles and the two Y chromosomes and the two X chromosomes and the XY chromosome. And it's so funny. I love the little like game that Bart and Homer play where they like bat heads with like wearing pots over their heads. That's the brilliant brilliant bit, and I love it. So the Simpsons wins for
nice.
Sure.
Good job, Simpsons. Cool, nice. And because we no longer talk on our phones, we talk via online stuff, because again, we're sophisticated. I just use my regular phone for that. So I don't even need all these extra phones. So Potendo, flash sale. I got 12 old iPhones for sale. $5. Yeah. Or 60. Hey. I got to recoup some of the losses from my Nintendo debacle. It's really affecting me. Now, other top TV shows that we could be watching back in 1998 are The Challenge, Charmed, Dawson's Creek, Will and Grace, Felicity, Sex and the City, H. I was obviously writing something and stopped. And you're like, I'm not going to watch Felicity. Come on. I don't have problems like curly-haired girls do. Other top cartoons you could be watching, because maybe you're like, I like colors. Bob the Builder, Ogie and the Cockroaches, Celebrity Deathmatch, Roly Poly Oly, The Powerpuff Girls, Cat Dog, PB&J Otter, and Invasion America all debuted this year.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So the funny thing is, it was like nothing really like scratched that itch, because we like didn't really watch Celebrity Deathmatch. It was kind of that show that we would always watch at like the one friend's house who had like US satellite somehow.
We knew of them, we just didn't partake in them.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But Invasion America, like, man, I swear this came up on another one, because whenever it does, the opportunity arises, I want to talk about it. And Nick always puts in the notes because he knows I want to talk about it. So this is I remember this time vividly, because this was what Kids WB was in full swing. So.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Nice. You're like, psh, you know what? I'm more of a Real House. I like the silver screen of Hollywood. I want to spend money on not cable packages to get my entertainment. What could you be watching? So this week, you could see The Man in the Iron Mask, U.S. Marshals, and The Big Lebowski. Okay. Still in theaters, you could see Dark City, The Wedding Singer. If we waited a week or two, you could see Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero, and Wild Thing. Bzz.
Yeah, good. Hey, not too shabby. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We definitely saw what Batman. No, we didn't see Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero.
I don't. Yeah. I think you're thinking of like Mask the Phantasm.
Yeah.
All right.
It's but pretty good one. I got some comedies, got some action.
So when I first did these notes, I definitely did a different day in 1998, and it was exceptional. It was like top, like movies were great, video games were all awesome. And then as I was going through the video games, and like I do them kind of sequentially, I'm not finding Yoshi's Story anywhere. And then I realized I had actually done the wrong date, and I was like, son of a, and I wrote so much out too, and I was like, that sucks. So I redid this section, and normally I'm a lazy guy, I only do things once, so you're welcome for accuracy that I redid this, because that would have been terrible. Top video games released this month was Warriorland 2, House of the Dead, Tekken 3, Parasite Eve, and StarCraft.
Ooh, awesome. Like, legendary fighting game. Parasite Eve is super underrated, which we should probably talk about at some point. And my love, StarCraft, so Good times.
Nice.
I know if I could go back, I'd be playing what I'd be doing, so.
All right. There you go. Yeah. We'll see Parasite Eve. I don't know about you. All right. Top three songs, though. Maybe that's the deciding factor. I'm still a little hesitant. Not as great. Whatever day it was, I should have wrote it down. It was very nice. This one, eh. Top three songs, according to the Billboard charts. Number three is Nice and Slow by Usher. Pull up, anticipated. Good love. Don't keep me waiting. I got... Oh, yeah. Nothing as great as that.
Yep. Yep. Usher.
But he didn't say his name twice, so I'm not entirely sure who said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this, I think, was pre Lil Jon collaborations. So
before they have to... Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. And then number two song, though, we could probably guess what's in the box office at some point, because the number two song was My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. Venus. Such a breathy part of that song. I said it's such a breathy part of that song.
Yeah. I feel like this song has caused a lot of drunk people at karaoke to do a really bad rendition.
100%. I mean, it's one of those things, though, where it's... If you want to talk about songs being paired with blockbuster movies, this was one of the better examples, right? I think we talked about this and that Aerosmith song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, as being kind of like the apex of those events. They just don't do that anymore, right? So it's kind of a dead art of, say, like maybe late 80s, into the 90s, I guess.
What will the people dance, slow dance to? We need the song in the rotation so you get the slow dance.
100%. You need to like have the movie pump up the song and the song pump up the movie. You got to get that synergy between departments. They just don't have synergy in departments anymore. It's too bad. Unlike the number one song, which makes you get synergy with the dance floor. It's Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith. Keep it up, jiggy, make it feel like a fool. Like, yo, my cardio is infinite. Big Willie Styles all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Cool. Do I have to use my phone for anything else in this podcast? Not until later when I'm putting in sound clips. Sick. Well, then I shall put that away, and that is the end of our Wayback Machine. Tyson, do you want to live there?
I mean, I'm a little bit tainted because I'd get to see Invasion America and play StarCraft, and I'd be like, in being sci-fi kids heaven. But it's kind of mediocre, so yeah. Maybe if it's limited, I probably wouldn't.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see. All right, so with that, that gets into our development details. Now that we know the pop cultural landscape, I also don't think I'd live there. Development details. So, originally titled Yoshi's Island 64 for the 64DD floppy drive, and then moved to the cartridge instead, with the first promotional video clip for this game being released at Shohei in November of 1996, Yoshi's Island 64 presented lush, colorful worlds of pre-rendered 3D graphics and polygonal animations, also demonstrating the N64's ability to run 2D games. Shigeru Miyamoto said that the 2D format was necessary to create the artistic style of graphics the development team wanted. Nintendo described the game as 2.5D. The game's title was eventually changed to Yoshi's Story, being announced in August 1997 with a release of a promotional screenshot for upcoming games. With the game's initial release hitting Japan in December 21st, 1997, the international release was delayed from the fourth quarter of 1997 to February 9th, 1998. But as you all know from before, it actually came out in March. So, again, I don't know what happened. Stupid dates.
Must have been delayed again.
I guess. Sure, why not? Yeah. Reviews from the press said the game was too easy and little rewarding. Nintendo of America would thus demand the difficulty bar of the game to be raised. With extra time to polish the game, several changes were made to the international release, including graphical cleanup, the addition of white fences on the cardboard courses. Okay. Egg blocks with color matching the Yoshis in play, new locations for some items, a slightly different ending when a player finishes a course with only melons, and additional secrets, including hidden coin formations that spell out letters.
That is...
Glad they had extra time.
Yeah, glad. Well, use of that extra time.
No, it was sick. They crushed it there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like sometimes game developers get stuck being like, but we need to add all these little things, and you're like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have.
It's one of those things. Like, you could have just not wasted your time. I've been fine with that too, right? So,
more or less, like, does it run good? It's like, okay, could probably ship it without those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very, very much so. All right, cool. So that is the development details. You now know why this game was made, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. Well, sort of. But I'm happy it was made. I mean, it's an interesting little thing. And I remember as a kid, the 2.5D graphics was like, whoa, that's mind blowing. Look how good this is. But then everybody was like, but yeah, but remember Mario RPG? And I'm like, okay, but that game was, you can't compare anything to that game. It's so ahead of its time with its like graphics.
Yeah, there you go. So that's it. So that's the controls of this game. So you can move around with the joystick, A jumps, B eats things. You can collect eggs, eat enemies, make eggs, and then they can be aimed and shot. You can become an egg and fly around. If you eat a flower, you are tasked. Oh, I know, I didn't finish. each level you're tasked with, there are 6 pages of this book, quote unquote. Each page has upwards of 4 levels. You have to find secret hearts and eat fruits in each level to advance. So once you eat 30 fruits, you become so happy that the page turns on your story. That's kind of it. Cool. Did you like the controls?
They were okay. It's kind of, the jump was the only like really goofy thing. Or sometimes when you get hit, you bounce back, and then all of a sudden you're falling into a pit of oblivion. Mm-hmm. But with Nintendo Online, you can just make save states. So
you'll never lose a Yoshi if you use Nintendo Switch Online. Nintendo, basically, give me $60 because I'm pumping your product.
Yes. Yeah. And no one wanted to lose a Yoshi as a kid. That was like the...
devastating. Oh, it's just so sad. Yeah. But you can, in theory, find white shy guys in certain levels, which will go rescue a guy. So,
Good to know. Yeah. I never found any, but I also, maybe because I didn't lose any.
Well, that's potentially interesting. Yeah, the first time through I played, the controls are a little difficult. Yoshi has kind of a floaty jump. Controls kind of strange. It does take you... you're going to fail. Like, you're going to play it and be like, this is tough. And then kind of once you master it, you're like, oh, this is like baby's first platformer. So, like, there is a difficulty curve, but, like, once you get to it, you've, like, mastered the entire game, right? First memories of this game. Speaking of babies, I was once a baby. I had a friend who had this game. I played maybe a handful of levels and never completed it. So this is my first time diving into this experience. How about yourself?
Yeah, I remember playing it as a kid and just, like, loving the soundtrack and it being all cute. Because I loved Yoshi as a kid. He's a cute character, so obviously as a kid I was like, this is one of my favorite characters. But I never like played it all the way through, and this is the first time I played it all the way through, so
there you go. Cool. That's sweet. So I'm glad we have similar experiences. I do recall my friend that had it, he hated this game. He was like, it sucks, it's too easy. But his mom had given it to him, so sentimentally he didn't want to get rid of it. But he was the kind of kid that would have a game and he's like, oh, for $20 you could buy it. So it was great because, like, mom, I need $20. I need to buy like a brand new video game. And she's like, yeah, that's good value. Okay, here you go. Thanks, son. Fortunately, never bought it because of super sentimentality. I hate it. Anyway, it's the story of this game. Living together in harmony at Yoshi's Island, the Yoshis are able to maintain a perpetual state of joy through the fruit-bearing super happy tree. Sounds like drugs. However, Baby Bowser becomes envious of the happiness and casts a spell to transform the entire island into a pop-up storybook. In addition, he also steals the Super Happy Tree, further weakening the Yoshis and making them fall to gloom. While successful with his wicked deed, okay, here we go. 6 eggs were yet able to survive the trial and hatch. Confused about the dismayed state of the world, the baby Yoshis, which you play as baby Yoshis, which is adorable, knew that something was amiss, and so decide to fight the gloom with cheer. So they set out to retrieve the super happy tree and restore happiness to the island.
Yeah, that's a way too complex story for what this game really comes across as.
Yeah,
but it's cute. Like, I mean, but you're right. It is super aimed at young kids. Mm-hmm. So I don't like even kids who, like when you compare it even to like Super Mario World, just like difficulty, like Super Mario World has like perfect difficulty where it's like challenging for young kids, but as you kind of get older, it's like can still be, even be challenging as an adult. This game, as coming back and replaying it as an adult, you're like, oh, this game is super easy. I'm never in danger. I don't understand how I, like, sometimes we would die in levels, and it's like, probably because we're just, like, hand-eye coordination wasn't there yet, but yeah, this game is, there's one or two tricky parts, but yeah, a cakewalk.
Yeah, pretty easy. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, it was challenging. Interesting way that this game runs. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to, as we kind of talk through it, rather than talk about each individual level, we're going to kind of, I want to do my best and my least favorite mechanic. So I had time to think about this, write them down. And I'm now throwing this at Tyson at the last second. So now he's stuck here being like, uh-oh, on the spot. Tell me what your best, least favorite mechanic. And I think we're going to talk about the different mechanics of this game because they throw a lot at you. There are 24 levels and each level contains one or two almost brand new mechanics throughout. So there's just a lot kind of coming at you and stuff you never see again, which is always interesting when it comes to gameplay. So did I just say everything I've written down? Didn't work. The issues with these levels are they only use one mechanic. Creates uneven video game, apparently what I wrote down. So neat. Cool. Chapter one.
Yeah, no.
That works. So this is our Let's Play section.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So this is our Let's Play section. We're going to look at, called Level Notes. We're going to start chapter by chapter. We'll start with the beginning, chapter one. So you have four levels to choose from. Treasure Hunt, Surprise, Rail Lift, and Tower Climb. So you can butt pound on a mouse, find secrets, use a cloud conveyor belt, and bounce on springs. But I don't think this is the spring level. I think this is the one with the little carts that you have to tip back and forth to go up. So I did make a mistake there.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
I think the tower, I think I swapped those in my mind when I wrote the notes down. Realized it afterwards on another playthrough, and I was like, whoopsie. So of that first area, what is your favorite? What is the best slash favorite mechanic of this area?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick because it's kind of super basic. This is just kind of like running around, getting used to all the simple stuff. Maybe the conveyor belts, because I always sucked at conveyor belts as a kid. So coming back as an adult and just like having no trouble with any conveyor belt issues in this game just kind of made me like, this is how it should have been easy this whole time. But
yeah, I agree. I also think the rail lift level is just the best. The rails, you kind of have to throw, they're switches, and you have to throw eggs at them to either advance or to make sure you don't fall down a cliff. There's only one, I think, that leads it to a dead end. So it's not super stressful. You should be able to figure it out, not die. There you go. Least favorite mechanic, though, I'm going to go butt pounding the rat. Do you ever use this again to flip over enemies? I don't think so. It's not like it teaches how to like fight a boss. That's it. You use butt pounds to get past this rack and break boxes, and that's about it. So
Yeah, no, and like most of the time, he's sometimes just standing in a spot where you're like, oh, I could just take the other path and run around him, or I could just butt pound the stupid rat because he's sort of inconvenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Silly. Cool. Silly.
But we're done with that, so you get to play one level per playthrough. Not great. So you're playing this game probably minimum at least four times, probably more, because you're going to not find a super big heart at some point and unlock all the areas in the next one. Yeah, that's fun. But the page turns. You get to hear a little story. And you're like, yay. And we move on to from the bright, beautiful, green, lush beginnings to the dark caverns. Here we have the Bone Dragon Pit, Blarg's Boilers, Jellypite, and Torrential Maze. Here we fight some bone dragons, avoid some lava monsters, explore some pipes, and watch out for water. Torrential downpour, I think, is what they were going for in that. So the best mechanic of this area, what do you think it is?
I think it's you hit the nail on the head. It's the bone dragons.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're more of an interesting obstacle. They give you something to fight. They have like a weird reminiscence to kind of the bone dragons in like a Castlevania game. At least I thought those. I was like, oh, kind of neat. They have like the bone snakes, right? So I thought that was kind of fun. Yeah.
And it was kind of like, I don't know, it's the first real threat in the game, because the entire first chapter, the beginning chapter, is like...
It might be the only threat in this game.
Very true, very true.
And, okay. Yeah. And then would you also agree, I'm sorry, I said my least favorite mechanic is the Blargs. They kind of jump out of the lava, they come at you, but they're slow. They don't really provide any challenge. So you go from this, like, cool enemy that, like, takes some skill to fight to a guy who just, like, shows up and you're like, if I just wait, you go away?
Yeah, he's definitely the most disappointing. I like his character sprite, but yeah, he's definitely the most disappointing. I also wasn't a big fan of the stupid, when it always comes up when you're able to like roll a ball through some lava, and you're like, this is just tedious.
Yeah, there you go. So. Okay, let's see, so Bone Dragon Pit. So there we go. So then we collect our 30 fruits, and we go, oh yay, we're so happy, page turns. Yep.
We hear that same cute song.
You'll hear it at the end of the podcast. I won't sing it for you now. We'll go to the summit next. Now we're up in the clouds. So we get Cloud Cruising, the Tall Tower. This is the one with the springs. Poochie and Nippy, and Frustration. So we explore some clouds. Fun. We use a hover car. No, we actually use springs. Stupid notes. You use Poochie. I forget what that one is, but maybe that's actually not a terrible level. I think I really liked Poochie and Nippy. And Frustration. I don't know if I actually played Frustration, so I'm not sure what that is. I played through this like 5-6 times, didn't unlock all the levels at the end, and I was like, but Poochie and Nippy, I seem to have liked.
I know there's one that has lots of pipes, and you get it seems to go on forever, and there's all sorts of different areas. I actually had a hard time trying to find all the fruits, just 30 fruits in general.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like backtrack and do all this stuff, and that, I don't know if that's the Poochie and Nippy level.
Poochie and Nippy is where all the Shy Guys are throwing snowballs at you.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
that's okay. The one.
All right, cool.
My favorite mechanic is, I think this one introduces the leaf surfing.
Hell yeah.
That is the best mechanic. Yeah. I wish it showed up more.
But that's it. So there's certain races. So if you wanted to know, I guess we could talk about this. You're collecting 30 fruits. There's 4 different types of fruits. Each can kind of give you a different increase based on if you like them or not. I think each Yoshi likes a certain fruit by color, but then you also get a lucky fruit, which also kind of increases how much health they give you. But then there's also melons. So just these green fruit, there's 30 per stage, and they give you more points. So if you want to play like the more difficult and you want to go for high points, you collect only melons. And some of the games will be like, how far can you flutter, race a chain chomp, or carry a bunch of fruits. And I think the cloud, there's one part where you're on a leaf, and essentially you have to kind of balance back and forth, and it's one of the chain chomp races. It's very fun, very satisfying to jump on it, fly, collect your 7 melons, and then kind of move on with the level. But yeah, Tyson said that is the best mechanic. You get some insane physics defining speeds, but you can also kind of have like fun patterns and pull up. It's a very, very, very well done mechanic. How about your least favorite mechanic?
I guess I didn't really like the Poochie level. It's like, I see it's also yours. It's so frustrating. There's so much backtracking, and it just seems to be monotonous.
Yeah.
And I was always running out of eggs, so I'd have to go back to like the first part of the level. It was one of the few spots where I actually used the warp points, because we also didn't mention there's like 3 guys, like little red, like round circles with 1, 2, 3 in on them. They're kind of like the 3 different areas, and you kind of jump between the 3 warp points, which is nice, but also... just like, why am I having to do this just to like backtrack just so I can get some eggs, just so I can pop some darn balloons, so I can finally get out of this darn level?
Yes.
I think I spent the most time in that level than any other level, which is weird.
So as Tyson alluded to, they're actually called Miss Warps. So a female character here. They're like little round circles, and they can kind of jump you around there. Little checkpoints, cute. Myself, yeah, Poochie. That Poochie level, I said apparently I liked it. I didn't like it. I couldn't figure any of the secrets. I don't know how to sniff. But when we're done this, we do get to fight a boss. He's a cloud. You lick him. And then the other bosses, I don't know when they come up specifically, but there is also a ghost that appears at some point. I think he disappears and you shoot something. There's a djinn on some teeter-totters. And like I fought a slug at one point who... you can't hit him with the eggs. You have to like explode beside them and the fireworks hit him. So I don't know when the bosses exactly happen, but those are the bosses of the game.
I'll see if I could try to remember off the top of my head, because I know, okay, so the ghost is in, like, Surprise. I think he literally pops out one of the boxes, and then you just have to throw an egg, pop him in his, like, little...
So that that's a different from the actual ghost boss. I think the ghost boss appears in one of the towers, yes. And he's, like, invisible, and if you just hide in the corner of the room, he, like, comes close, and you just shoot him.
Yeah, and he has to wait till he becomes transparent to hit him with the... hit him with the actual stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the cloud is super easy. He's just, you lick him and then he just disappears. It's like cotton candy.
Oh, and as you lick him, he powers up.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
which is interesting design choices.
Yeah. Like you you heal yourself. So there you go. But there we go. So we got all our fruits, fighter cloud, happy song plays. Bah, 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 bah. We move on to the next chapter in the jungle. So at the jungle, we get to play Jungle Hut, Jungle Puddle, Piranha Grove, and Neuron Jungle. So we explore some huts, we get annoyed by fish, we avoid some weeds, and we do something in a jungle. So neurons are these big, weird platforms that move around, or you have to butt stomp for them to decrease, and they hide secrets. Not terrible. Favorite mechanic in the jungle?
I can't really even think of one, because it's just kind of generic platforming, and then kill all the shy guys in certain areas, and
yeah.
Or you collect all the coins in certain areas and that gets you a watermelon. It's kind of hodgepodged, mm-hmm. But there's a couple fun unlocks where you kind of like find a little warp point down in the corner.
Okay.
And that's how you actually get the the hearts, which I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of like a smart little spot to put it, because you have to do this really roundabout way, mm-hmm. And then you go to a warp point, and then it's another warp point. There it is, which is like, I like that. That was well done.
Nice. For myself and everyone else, every retrospective I watched while I was doing research for this, they blew that jungle hut so hard. I'm going to say that I guess that's the best mechanic, although it's stupid because it's just different like huts with different levels, and I'm not sure what they were going on, but we'll go with that. Lee's favorite mechanic, though, are the big fish. They're super challenging. There's one guy who, like, jumps and kills you. There's another guy who, like, squirts water at you and then eats you. But I kind of also like the mechanic, but it's also kind of a shitty mechanic. So, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. This just makes me want to play Donkey Kong Country.
Okay, there you go. So, big fish. So, that's it. So, then we collect our 30 fruits, and we get to hear our song. I tried playing one of my last playthroughs of just collecting melons, and my high score was usually around, call it, like, 10,000. So, I was averaging about 15 to 20, or 20,000 or 2,000 points kind of per level. So, after six, you do the math, at around 10,000. When I was collecting only melons, because they give you upwards of 3,000 points just for the melons alone, I think I hit something like 15,000 or something like that in points. So, very big significance. So, again, if you want to make this game more difficult, try and do a perfect run and collect all melons.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of where the difficulty is. But on the outside looking in, it's kind of like, oh, I guess just find all the heart locations so you can get all the spots.
That works too. So if you collect all the three or four hearts, it unlocks more levels in the next area. So page turns. Dun, 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 dun. We're on to the ocean, chapter 5. So there's lots of jellyfish, lots of fish, Shy Guy Limbo, and Shy Guy Ship. So we swim through some fish, swim through some more fish, jump over some Shy Guys, and avoid cannonballs. So the best or favorite mechanic here.
I think it's the cannonballs. It's pretty. It's like just avoiding things. I like it a little bit more than the limbo sticks, because that's just kind of like jump over a moving object, everybody. But yeah, it's. I don't know if I should be expecting big, interesting, crazy dynamics at this point. Yeah. It's pretty easy. Like, I was breezing through most of this game. The hard part was just like, where the heck are the heart locations? Because they're actually hidden really well. So.
There is a lot more in depth, and I found that actually going through all kind of four little areas of each level, looking for the melons, trying to find the secrets, I found quite a bit, right? There was some level I was finding upwards of like two, three big hearts, just doing the extra exploring, versus if you just kind of like rush through it and collect just the fruit, you are missing out on a little bit of experience. So you do have to kind of play the game to get more out of it, which is like not terrible. Myself, I think I said either the jumping over the shy guys was cute. I like the ship. There's a little ship in the background and they shoot bombs at you. That's fun. My least favorite mechanic though is the swimming. He just doesn't control very well underwater, and he kind of is always moving, and it's just not super tight. So, yourself, do you have a least favorite mechanic of the ocean part?
Oh, 100% the swimming, because you just have like weird momentum, so you're constantly having to fight against it, and you're just overshooting stuff, and you're trying to use your stupid tongue, which sometimes just doesn't hit the fish, and it's just a pain. Yeah, hated that stuff. Couldn't wait to get to that level. Those are one of those ones where it's like, okay, every fruit I see, I'm eating. I don't care. But I was also using Black and White Yoshi, and their favorite fruit is every fruit. So every fruit gives them 3 stars. And I'm like, this is extra easy mode for an extra easy game. Yeah,
that's fair. Nice. Yeah, I didn't unlock. There's 2 unlockable Yoshis. There's a black and a white guy. I didn't find either of them. And I kind of like just didn't care to look for them, so.
Yeah, Black Yoshi's in the second level of the second island, or the second page, and then the White Yoshi's in the second of the third, and the third of the third, I think it is.
Yeah, I could look at
something like that. I can't remember.
I literally could look it up, but I don't know. Do I care enough to look it up?
No.
Okay.
No, it's, yeah.
All right, cool. Then I don't. So then we go. So we collect all our fruits. We go, da, 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 da. Now we're on to the finale. This part, I think every playthrough, I only ever played Mecha Castle. And then finally, my last playthrough, I had Ghost Castle and Lift Castle. So I played through both of those. But that ocean, I just had zero interest, I guess, in playing ocean levels. There you go. So Mecha Castle, Lift Castle, Ghost Castle, and Magma Castle are the 4 areas here. So we avoid swords, we use lifts, we fight dumb ghosts, and avoid a little bit of magma in the Magma Castle. What is your final favorite / best mechanic for this area?
I kind of like avoiding the swords, because it's like, it's you have to be pretty precise, not super precise, but like fairly precise with your jumps, and it's very forgiving, but I do like the ghost design, so they're a close second.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah, for myself, the lifts are kind of done. We did that before. Swords, I kind of like the hammer gates too. They were kind of like an interesting, you get to swing back and forth on a hammer to raise a gate. Okay, cool. How about our least favorite mechanic? So I said the ghost castle was called the best level in the game by one retrospective, and the worst level in the game by another one. So by 2 independent retrospectives. I played it. Like, it's, like, kind of confusing, and they have, like, keys you have to find, but, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people just latch onto weird aesthetic parts of the game, like, this is the best part, and you're like, yeah, but gameplay-wise, is it?
Is it? So. Is it? All right, so now we've fought through 6 grueling levels. We've collected 180 fruits. We fought number of ghosts. We can't even count how many ghost bosses. We can't even fight how many bosses we fought. We finally get to the final battle with Baby Bowser. So you can shoot him. You can shoot the roof. He like jumps up and he rides around on these weird slime things. You can shoot him in the face, hit spikes, have them drop, throw bombs at him. You have to hit that like 4 or 5 times, and then he dies, and the game is over. Also, the Super Happy Tree is there that just constantly spits out fruit, and there's like a 1-up or like an invincibility frame. You probably shouldn't lose to this final battle.
Oh, and even if he's on the ground, like because you've hit him, and a bomb just also happens to go off, sometimes it'll just get hit twice, and then he can gives you time to grab another bomb and throw it at him. So you're like, you can just steamroll him. He's super easy. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of difficulty, especially with the like. Essentially, it's like a Mario star just sitting there whenever you need it.
Yes.
Like that. There's no way I should lose this.
It does take, maybe if you eat 1 or 2, because I think I did try and spam it. It does take a little bit for it to grow, but this bot battle shouldn't take you long enough to need more than 1.
Yeah. Well, and there's also fruit, so it always gives you health.
Yeah, there you go. So that's it. So then we end the game. Hooray! So ending, you will get a funny story recap that tells your Yoshi story. So at the end of every page, like we mentioned, you kind of get those like little cute, this is what happened. They just replay that at the ending, which is strange.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of an anticlimactic story. Like, there's not really even a story to this. Like, I didn't really even think, like, oh, Baby Bowser's a threat. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make multiple appearances. He's just kind of, like, mentioned and then shows up. And then you defeat him.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you'd replay it at least four more times, unless you found all the stars in your first playthrough, and then you guaranteed minimum four. But chances are you'll be playing this to the end of time. It's good times. You can get high scores. You can practice. That's kind of it. I don't want to, you know, just shoot in the foot and call it Baby's First Platformer, but it's kind of there. There's a little bit more. So let's say current thoughts. So there we go. So now we're done. So you know what our first thoughts were, first impressions, first memories. What are our current thoughts? So this is a decent platformer. They throw a bit too much at the player without enough introduction of certain mechanics. It also seems very unsatisfying to collect all the fruits, and it's very anticlimactic when a level just randomly ends. If you don't know the melon thing, that's true. I didn't get any of the lockable characters, nor do I care to get them. And this game is a game. If you have nostalgia for it, I bet you love it. If you've never played it, I bet you don't care. Huh, neat. Cool. How about your current thoughts?
Yeah. Super easy. Not very hard at all. I think it's just... It is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's more for the younger audience. It's a cute playthrough. I could see why if people who own this game would be disappointed, because they're like, I want more. Mm-hmm. And this game just basically says, hey, replay it four times and try to find all the unlockables. So it is what it is. It's decent for like just the gameplay wise, but it's just handled strangely and short.
Nice. All right, cool. So we're not, neither of us loved it. Didn't really hate it. Will I ever go back and play it after the podcast? No. I think that's like I can definitively say it's fine. And maybe it's like worth checking out to just because it's there. If you have like the N64 online, but like don't get the N64 online for this game. Definitely not worth your time. If you were to rank our 3 month of Mario games this year, so we played Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, and Yoshi Story in subsequent weeks, we're masochists. How would you rank these games?
I'd probably go Golf, Yoshi Story, then Tennis. Golf. But that's also because, yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, I think that's how I do it too. So, which is sad when your platformer is worse than a golf game.
Yeah, but I also, Mario Golf's got lots of fun things to do it. This game's like, I could see if you had Nintendo Online and you were like, oh, what's there to play? I got like an hour, a couple, or hour two. If you just like picked it up, played it, one story mode all the way through, I could see how that's like, oh, that's a decent experience, but you're not going to be like, oh, I need to get all the unlockables, unless you're hardcore, which I mean, I don't know how many people are super hardcore about
Yoshi games. Story. Yeah. All right, cool. So how about what would you change? So I couldn't figure out how to unlock all the levels and get stuck playing the same areas again and again. I would love to make it more clear. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't be against playing through every level sequentially. So instead of having, you know, four playthroughs that I have to submit to, like maybe play every single game as I carry on, right? And then get to the next area. Like I would almost rather that, just like a linear playthrough rather than their story mode. Like they should have almost had just like story mode and then like playthrough mode. And I would have rather just played through every level once and been happy and walked away rather than the dumb setup that they have. Like, I get it, it's cute, it's supposed to add replayability, but your game isn't good enough to make me want to replay it more than, like, once or twice, so you're just denying me access to all your levels. Like, if I wasn't playing this for a podcast, I wouldn't have played it four or five times to try and get all the experience in. So that's probably what I would change.
Yeah, definitely. I that's what I was going to say about playing it sequentially. It's very shallow, and it feels... Like, when you lay out all the levels, you're like, it's, yeah, there, I guess there's lots to this, but it feels so patchwork. Like, they didn't, I guess what I would do is I'd have a story mode where you play through everything sequentially, have a good, like, the good, normal ending, and then the good ending for all the, instead of all the melons, you collected all the hearts in every level, just, but you need, like, two hearts minimum or one heart minimum to at least get the next level. So you have to, like, find a heart and then play through it. So, like, you kind of do a bit more exploring, and then if you collect all the hearts on all the levels, then, you know, then you get the super extra ending, so add some difficulty there. And then trial mode, because they have a trial mode, just have, like, the, oh, you get to play one of each section, like they have it set up for the story mode. I don't know. It just seems really weird the way they did it, but it seems almost like they're just trying to pad the lack of content and hide it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
All right, cool. So change, that's kind of it. Are you buying it? So Yoshi's Story is the first game in the timeline. Mario and Luigi haven't been born yet. And if the Yoshis in Yoshi's Story are the same ones as in Yoshi's Island are the same in Yoshi's Story, then the same Yoshi must have been younger around this time. Also, Bowser seems to be younger than in any other game. So is this the first game in the Mario timeline?
Could be. Mm. Could be the prequel. Mm,
cool.
Because, I mean, this could kind of be the superseding Super Mario 3, Super Mario World story.
Okay.
Or even, yeah, I could see that. Because, yeah, no, it makes sense. Because Baby Bowser looks definitely different. He doesn't look like Bowser Jr. He's definitely Baby Bowser.
100%. Yeah, it's in my mind, it kind of seems like this predates Yoshi's Island. Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, this kind of like seems like it goes before it. And I think the point I was trying to allude to is potentially these baby Yoshis all like are the same ones that then we carry Mario in the next game or something.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree.
Something like that. Cool. All right, so that kind of wraps up a review of this game. You know how we feel. It's all right. If you played it before, you probably love it. If you never played it before, you're probably like, eh. And that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I think it's kind of got that ActRaiser effect, you know what I mean? Where,
yeah,
like, Secret of Mana. Like, if you like this game, you like this
game. Yeah, it's a limited experience, but like, we understand for some reason if you really like it because you played it before.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't compare this to Secret of Mana. Secret of Mana was just, oh, it's the worst. All right, so about final cultural significance, and then we'll get out of here. Oh, our podcast's a little bit longer because we did more stuff. That's exciting. So in this section, we look at game design, the lore, inspirations, turning points, interesting stories. We talk about how this game relates, give other examples, and tie it all back together in the end. This game plays the story that we are actively making. It's a cute idea, but it doesn't necessarily make for a fun / replayable experience. Let's look at the 10 best storytelling video games that exist via Games Radar. But I kind of omitted games I hadn't played before / aren't familiar with, and I changed the order a bit, so haha, take that, Games Radar, I edited your work. Notable entries from this list were Silent Hill 2, Her Story, Persona 4, Undertale, KOTOR, and Half-Life 2.
Yeah, I get the cup. I've never heard of Her Story. I've heard everything else. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
but Her Story.
I watched something on it, and it's like a bunch of videos. They're like interview tapes. You watch this girl, and then you have to kind of try and deduce what happens from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like an indie game. All the rest, I agree. Persona, I'm not familiar with. They were pretty high up on the list. Can't speak to it. Undertale, we kind of all know the tale. Half-Life 2, people freaking love blowing that game. KOTOR, super great. Silent Hill 2, I never played any of the Silent Hill games, so I don't know. But also, Silent Hill might be the number one game on this list, so we could talk about it then. How about the number 10 game on this list is Metal Gear Solid.
100%.
Yeah.
This is like playing a movie.
Pretty much. No, it's a very good experience. We talked about it earlier, right? It is literally a narrative-driven video game, and it does it exceptionally, right? If you care, we talked for 2 hours this past summer. Go listen.
Yeah, yeah. We couldn't shut up about that game.
Sweet. How about number 9? Red Dead Redemption. So I haven't played the first one, but I did enjoy the second one, so I should probably go back and play the first one. But the second one also ended up on the list at some point, so I was like, oh, I'll just talk about it now. So the Red Dead Redemption games are some pretty epic storytelling, right, across the set in the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always loved Grand Theft Auto games, but Red Dead Redemption was kind of like, nah, we're kind of putting story above everything else, but we're setting it in with all the same game mechanics of Grand Theft Auto. And yeah, I remember like falling in love with that game and being like shocked by the ending, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, no, it is one of those, I mean, we'll throw the word around. Epic. It's an epic video game, just story from what they told, right? Very, very ambitious. And yeah, everyone likes cowboys. Although, how long do you think the Wild West lasted for? So based on how many cowboys and like Wild West and gunmen stories there are, how long was the Wild West? So we had like money moving in, right? Just if you were to guess, how many years do you think that was?
30.
Wild West era began. Okay, well, according to this, it says 1607 till 1912. So that's like 300 years. I thought it was only 30 years.
30 years. Yeah, well, I figured that there was a lot more, like, there was a blip in time.
Yeah, with here we go.
The gold rush. So like, it was in people's lifetime, gold rushes were like...
Yeah, so the Wild West era is usually cited as ending in 1895. So it is marked 30 years after the Civil War has been fought. So it was only 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Kind of neat, right?
Yep. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Because you'd think hundreds of years, right? Think of how many cowboy stories there are and how many movies there are. Like, we've made more content based on this 30-year period than, like, any other time almost in...
Yeah. It's kind of at that point where, like, if you add it all up all the time, mm-hmm. just movie after movie for days, how close are we to 30 years?
Yeah, there you go. Cool. What's the next one? Number 8, Batman Arkham Knight, or just the Arkham series in general. So...
Awesome. I mean, as a Batman fan, this is awesome. This is what we wanted. And I mean, kind of laid the groundwork for a bunch of other games. And I know they had a Gotham Knights came out and everybody kind of like dumped on it. I guess they had a weird cinematic.
Interesting.
Decisions. Yeah.
Interesting. Story or something. Well, yeah, I know the scope of the games kind of grew from the Asylum to the City. There's one that's like Batman Year One, which is like, it's just city, but a new coat of paint. And then Knight was epic, right? Like, they had the Batmobile. You flew around. It was big to explore. They're done exceptionally well. And outside of... I'm going to claim these as the trinity of Batman media that made Batman who he is today. So Batman was super campy. People knew who Batman was, but no one took him seriously until Tim Burton took a spin on him with his first two films in the early 90s. Okay. He then kind of fell off in my mind. And like, you look at the Batman and Robins and he's just a goofball and he sucks. The Nolan trilogy then kind of helped push him into like notoriety of like, what kind of interesting stories can we tell? And as well around this time, the Arkham series kind of around Dark Knight, rather than make a movie tie-in, they actually took a spin-off Arkham Asylum and made this really cool, interesting world, fun gameplay with Batman, and then expanded into the city, into the Knights, right? So I think they kind of helped grow his cultural, appeal, sort of, kind of, right?
Well, I think he definitely added to the popularity of the character, because all video game fans... Because if you liked him and you wanted the movies, you could just watch Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And people just sometimes just watch that on repeat. Because that movie, like, changed how people looked at, like, comic book characters. And like, they also saw dollar signs because that movie made so much money back in the day. And it was, and then we got the games. And then I think even today, like, I remember at one point I counted up all the DC active lines, and it was something like 40% of them had Batman involvement of some kind. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. Like, so of all the DC pantheon, like, Batman's now currently producing at least 40% of all the active comics.
I could see that, because just, again, he grew, right? Because, I mean, I guess you could also argue, like, the Batman animated series really helped his mythos kind of take off and grow, right? So maybe it's not 3 points.
And that was also winning awards, mm-hmm. like Emmys and stuff. So
maybe it is 4 points or 4 instead of just the 3. But I think they're important. They kind of push them. Everything else kind of sucks. Like, I know he has lots of movies. I've never watched any of the cartoon movies. Lots of his movies actually kind of suck. They've tried, like, TV series that don't really go anywhere. Like, I don't really care about Gotham. Did anyone ever follow Gotham? I know we watched to a certain point and then we just stopped. Right, so they try lots of spinoffs.
Well, I think it has that CW feel.
Well, and like, so that's like, what I mean. Like, Batman, you know, like, Batgirl gets put out. No one really cares, and they move on. Why? Well, it's because he has like 4 really great things, and everything else kind of sucks. So, about number 7 on this list. Back to our list about video games. Number 7, Tall Tales, The Walking Dead. So I know people were blown away by this game. The decision-making that influenced the story kind of created a whole Telltale genre of games. So less of an extent of what kind of what we talked about with Batman, this kind of definitely helped a whole genre of games create up. And they, you know, got a lot of creative license. They made Game of Thrones games and what's the other one? Jurassic Park games, which kind of interact as like, what happened to that canister of dinosaur DNA, right? Like, they did really cool things with this series, but that was definitely the first one, was the Telltale Walking Dead.
Yeah, and a lot of people were kind of like, you know, blown away, because it's a zombie universe, so sometimes your decisions end up with people dying. So essentially, it's an entire game filled with, like, live-or-die decisions of, like, I lost that character I was growing attached to that I saved three times. Why?
Yeah.
So it created a lot of that experience, and I think everybody was just couldn't get enough Walking Dead at that point, so it was hit perfect timing and was the right kind of choose your own decision, and it latched onto people's emotions. So
that's all you need. Cool. Now about number six, The Last of Us. So I know that people love Ellie and the guy, I don't know what his name is though, however I did find the sequel was a bit more compelling and complete and more of a challenging narrative than just the first game. And like, I've played them and I liked them, but I don't know if The Last of Us should be the best video game series ever. Like, that's almost how it kind of comes across sometimes when people talk about that series. And like, it's good, it's definitely good, but I don't know. Do you have a boner for The Last of Us?
No, I this is a game that, like, I've played the, I think I got up to a point where I was like running around from a bunch of bigger clickers, where the heck they were. And I was just like, I just don't have the patience for the same thing again and again. And I understand that everybody's like, oh, but the story is super deep. And I wasn't really invested in the characters. And I didn't really feel like when people died, I wasn't really attached to anybody. It's kind of like, I could see why people were like, I'm super in love with these things. But I also feel that it's kind of a little bit overblown, and it is what it is for lots of people. Not, definitely not for me, but and it's weird because I do like zombie stuff. I just, the game series just never clicked with me.
Yeah, no, and that is fair. Set up the top five, so halfway through our list. There we go. What Remains of Edith Finch? Okay, so it's kind of like a weird first person. You walk around a house. It's not scary, but there's parts that are scary. But you kind of have to discover the narrative of what happened to a family. And it's done kind of very well through different cinematics, different gameplay experiences. It's okay. I played it once. I'm not going to play it again, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Myst, but just much more just a simple mystery that you're trying to solve, which is neat. I didn't play this one, but I played, like, Firewatch. Okay. Kind of,
yeah,
plays
same idea. Similar idea. Like, yeah. Firewatch, I would say, is like, oh, I think that was actually on this list. People are like, oh, cool, great. But it's more of that you get to solve a mystery that people like. All right, so how about number four, Chrono Trigger?
Yeah. No, this game, I mean, I like this game a lot. It's a kind of a goofy, wacky anime story where nothing matters and everything's changing, but
yeah,
takes you for a fun ride. And I love traveling through space.
And like, to discredit that this game has something like 13 different endings is pretty remarkable for a Super Nintendo game, right? Again, it's one of the better RPGs that kind of ever exists. And because it's simple and they didn't overcomplicate things, and it's easy for them to cram in a bunch of endings because it doesn't take like hundreds of programmers to change, you know, one little deviation from the story, because like, they're simpler to make. I think it works out really well. And yeah, like, there's lots going on there. It's probably worth giving it a chance if you haven't. I don't know if I would champion our Chrono Trigger podcasts enough to tell you to go back and listen to them, though.
Yeah, no, that was two inexperienced people taking a crack at a pretty legendary game for the first time.
Yeah.
And we were also pretty fresh at podcasting.
Within the first, like,
I know we both had our fun with it, so we'd both recommend it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
so I recommend the game.
Just some of them, like, I'm like, if we played it, like Metal Gear Solid, I think is probably, our podcast is probably fine. Go listen to that. This one, all right. How about number three, BioShock? So I know it's a really good story. It has a great twist ending that people love. For myself,
I think I loved Infinite. I remember I played that over the course of a couple days and was blown away. Like, it was almost one of those watershed moments where I was like, am I a different person now from playing a video game? I didn't really have that from BioShock, though, but I know that universe and that storytelling team does do some nice things. So I could see how people had that experience with BioShock.
Yeah. I've played every BioShock game, and I think I own them all on my PC, and I own them all on, I think, the Switch. Either that or my Xbox. I bought the trilogy when it was on sale or one day. It's definitely one of those games where it's like, it's just a good, solid shooter experience with lots of like good plat or puzzle solving, but and a story that keeps you engaged. I kind of lean with you. Like, I really like Infinite. I know a lot of people kind of dumped on Infinite, but it's like, I like the setting of the like steampunk and the clouds. Mm-hmm. And I forget the lady's name in that game, but like Elizabeth or something.
Yeah, I would say Elizabeth. I think that's right.
Yeah, and she's a really fun character, and it seems like there's always stakes where, yeah, BioShock gets a little bit more in that creepy underwater thing. It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. Play them.
Okay, cool. How about number two? Final Fantasy VII. Do you like Star Wars? Do you want to be a rebel group fighting an empire? And have summons, Final Fantasy VI. I know I said VII, but then I changed it to VI.
Yeah, it's funny how those two kind of overlap like that. Well, you know, Final Fantasy VI has such memorable characters as, I'm sure I can think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, like, I liked Go-Go. I actually don't think I ever...
Cyan. Was Cyan one? Oh, man,
Sasquatch. If you didn't get Sasquatch, were you even playing Final Fantasy VI?
Oh, yes.
That's I mean, I took it as literally blind gospel. When I wrote down Final Fantasy VI, I was like, of course, this game is awesome. But as you mentioned, I don't think the story of Final Fantasy VI was a strong suit. I think the customization and the story... Like, in fact, the customization of the characters was one of the better parts of that game. But like Tyson just mentioned, it wrecked the story. So I do think Final Fantasy VII is better. I know I made the slip and said Final Fantasy VII. I think Final Fantasy VII has a better story than VI, right?
I think so. Okay. Because, I mean, with six, you're like, okay, Kefka.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, like, I said Cyan because I think that's the one guy's name. But, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I couldn't remember it. Played it. And it's just, it's such, like, I never remember a lot. Like, remember I was on a ghost train.
Yeah.
And remember, the like, Cyan was, like, pile driving a ghost train at some point. Yeah. That was hilarious.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and the girl, and then, Locke, maybe there's a guy named Locke somewhere in Terra. See, there's names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Edgar?
There's, yeah.
All right.
But again, it's like, if we have to, like, reach for characters when I can name you almost every main character in Final Fantasy VII and villain, so things are vastly different.
Very much so. And I think it's good. Definitively, would I say go back and listen to our Final Fantasy VI podcast? Yeah. And if you want to have a very, very in-depth Final Fantasy VII experience, we spent, I think we made 12 episodes on every Final Fantasy VII media that exists. So go listen to those. I think they hold up. They're probably pretty good, actually. I'll go back and listen to that series occasionally.
Yep. Wow. Especially considering... Well, you know when Final Fantasy VII Remake finally finishes? I'll be there.
I'll probably be collecting part of my pension at that point, but I'm pretty excited to play it. And then finally, number one, Silent Hill 2. I have nothing to comment other than soon. Soon we will play you Final Fantasy or Silent Hill 2. Did I say Final Fantasy VII again? Or did I say Silent Hill 2?
I think you may have slipped Final Fantasy VII in here, but...
Okay, fine. You know what? Silent Hill 2, you suck. You were an honorable mention. You kicked out Final Fantasy VII's top of the list. Who saw that coming? No one. My God. JR.
Maybe Silent Hill 2 is just, like, hiding in the crowd waiting to bust out with the steel chair
100%. And take
out Final Fantasy VII.
That's it. We knew it all along. Son of a bitch.
Austin. Oh, no. They're hiding underneath the ring. That's the classic move.
He had the title won. My God.
Yep. The whole time he got screwed.
That's too bad. Yeah. The whole time. Cool. So with that, yeah, I think that kind of Yoshi's story, I would not say is a great story. It's based in a storybook, so thematically it is a story. The story's kind of awful, terrible. Platforming, it's a thing. And that's kind of it. That was our experience. Cool.
Yeah. I know, I guess it's did we miss anything?
Did we miss anything? I don't think so. No, that is... We talked over an hour on Yoshi's Story. Cute sounds.
Yep.
It's a fun game. Like, if you were a person and you had a partner that didn't play video games with you, you could probably get them to play Yoshi's Story or watch you play it, because it is visually... It's actually quite nice looking compared to lots of N64 games, right? So they kind of had that dialed in. But other than that,
Yeah, yeah. Or just like if you got a kid, like a younger kid that you want to play video games with, this is probably a good one for them, because it's not like they can really put, even when you have no health, that's still like your flower. Oh, now it's sad and blue. It's like, this game's so forgiving.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Very much so. Cool. Well, so with that, we're going to say goodbye. We're back in 2 weeks now, officially. We don't have to like rush through things with Donkey Kong Country 3. Kind of exciting.
Oh, very exciting. That's lots of golden or songbirds to unlock, or where the heck they are. But
I love me a banana bird.
Lots of fun. Yeah, banana bird. Fun things are on the horizon. So I'm looking up. We got lots slated, and 2023 is going to be awesome. Oh, so
man, 2022 is just so bad. I'm so glad it's almost over.
You know what? We're almost through it, and the future's bright. Very, very bright.
Well, that's good. Excellent. Cool. So with that, we say bid you all adieu and say bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.